Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tempest Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message. All right, I'm going to pick up where I left off. We were talking about let freedom ring, and we're talking about freedom from the devil, freedom from the demonic, that there's spiritual forces that try to capture and control people's lives. They do their very best to keep people from receiving Christ as their personal Savior. That's one of their main goals. I related a story last week about an individual. I was at a deliverance meeting, and minister asked, was speaking to the demonic force, and he said, "Why did you let her? Why didn't you stop her from receiving Christ?" And he said, "I couldn't." So that's something they cannot do. They cannot keep people from receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. However, their second goal is, if they cannot keep you from receiving Christ, their second goal is to keep you from being as effective as you can be in Christ. They want to oppress you and keep you from doing what God has called you to do. So these forces are real. They're operating today in the world. They haven't gone away. I know a lot of people would like to think that after the first century, after Jesus walked on the face of the earth, the demons disappeared. They did not. They're still around. They're still oppressing. They're still delving into people's lives and trying to manipulate and control, trying to destroy people's lives. And they're doing a pretty good job of it, I'll tell you that. The main reason that they're doing such a good job is because we don't know who we are in Christ as the body of Christ. We really are not convinced that Jesus, His blood really did cleanse us. His sacrifice really did give us the power, that He really did delegate to us the authority in the name, in His name, to be able to, what the Scripture says, tread on scorpions and, you know, serpents, and to be able to deal with these demonic forces. Sometimes we just, you know, we're struggling with that. And I got to admit, you know, I've done that myself. I still do deal with that sometimes because we're human. And the reality is, I can do nothing in and of myself. But we have Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have been given the ability through Holy Spirit to be able to stand against and deal with these things. There's a legend that talks about Satan and his demons celebrating Christmas. And one of the demons, as he was leaving, said to Satan, "Merry Christmas, sir." And the devil snarled back to him, "That's right. And don't you ever forget it. Make sure that we keep Christmas merry, because if people really get serious about it, we're all in trouble." When we recognize that this is a serious battle that we're in, then we can rise to the challenge, because we know who we are in Christ Jesus. We have a greater one living inside of us that gives us power and authority to be able to walk in absolute authority over the demons. According to Acts 10:38, Jesus went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. All who were oppressed of the devil. So when we begin to talk about these kind of things, we can recognize that Jesus came, Jesus took authority over demons, took authority over sickness and disease. He laid hands on the sick. He cast out demonic forces. And he walked on the face of the earth. And then he said to his disciples, go and do likewise. You know, do what I've told you to do. In that scripture in Acts chapter 10, 38, the Greek word there is diabolos. And it's talking about the devil, the traducer, the false accuser, the slanderer. The devil is Lord over a kingdom of, and as we study through the scripture, you find out that the other interpretation, the King James, it calls them devils. In the New King James, it refers to them as demons, and many other translations as demons. We know them. Pretty much most people would refer to them as demons. But they're a part of the devil's kingdom. The words that are used in the New Testament that we refer to as demons, there's three words that are kind of interchangeable. Demons, evil spirits, and unclean spirits. But they're all part of the kingdom of Satan. They're all part of what he is doing. He has these imps that go about doing his work, that tempt, that control, that manipulate, that do several things. We'll talk about the characteristics of demons. So the devil is the Lord over these entities, but the entities are the ones that go about and harass and do the work of the devil's kingdom. Based on the biblical description of the spirits that we talked about last week, demons are, I gave this definition, demons are bad-natured, morally unclean spirits with evil intentions. Bad-natured. They are bad-natured. There's nothing good about their nature. They're unclean. Which means that they're morally unclean. Their desire is to force people to do morally unclean things. Morals, break down the morals. You know, we see the breakdown of morals of our society because we have basically turned our nation and our world over to the demonic. And it's time for the church to rise up and be the church. You know, it was awesome this morning to see everyone worshiping. We were acting like the church, worshiping the Lord. It was exciting to see that. But it doesn't stop here. In fact, this is just where it starts. It's supposed to be carried out into our everyday life to touch and minister to other people. So they're bad-natured, morally unclean, with evil intentions. Everything they do is evil. Amen. Now remember this, their persons, their personalities. That's kind of a hard thing to grasp. That they're not just some sort of a cloud that floats around. They have personality. They were a being at one time that had probably most likely had some sort of a physical representation to who they are. But their spirits now are walking about seeking whom they may be able to control and destroy. The Bible says that, the Word of God says that when an unclean spirit is cast out, what's it do? It walks around in dry places. It's unsettled. It needs a body. It wants a body. And it's going to seek out a body to be able to fulfill its lustful desires. That's how it operates. And outside of a body, they're miserable. So they're looking for. You know, when Jesus came up to the gathering demoniac, one that had a legion in him, many, many demons, what did he do? He cast them out, right? And what did the legion ask? He said, at least let us go into this wine. They wanted a body of some sort. They prefer humans, but they'll take a pig. Or they'll take a human and make them act like a pig sometimes. It's true. The Greek word for demon, daimon nidzamai. I hope I didn't butcher that too much. It means, actually, basically what it's saying is demon eyes. So in the New Testament, the Greek New Testament, they translated it demon possessed, but it's really not a great translation. It really means demon eyes, not under the complete control of, but under the influence of a demon. Look with me in Mark chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. Mark chapter 1, verse 23, beginning with 23. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." I find it interesting. The demons knew who Jesus was, but the people wasn't sure. All they had to do was listen to the demons. The demons would tell them, "This is the Holy One. This is the one we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah." And they would cry out. And Jesus would tell them to shut up. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." He dealt with it on the spot. I said, "Get out of this man and leave him alone." Someone told me once when they were talking about this, they said, in most churches, the church would have put the man out of the church. But instead of putting the man out, it was a synagogue, basically church for them. What we consider a gathering. But Jesus put the demon out of the man and left him in the synagogue. That's what we want. We don't want people put out. We want people delivered and set free. One of the things I want to point out to you is that Jesus was ministering to the Jewish people. This man was in the synagogue. That probably meant that he was a devout follower of Yahweh. He knew God. And yet this demonic force had attached itself to him in some way. Doesn't that make you a little unsettled when you think about the fact that he was a worshiper of God? Sometimes, whether we like it or not, sometimes these demonic forces are working in individual lives, in churches, in our bodies. They don't completely control people, but they manipulate and manifest in different ways in people's lives. You think anybody that was going to church with this guy realized he had an unclean spirit? Didn't look like it, does it? That's why the gifts of the Spirit are so important. We have to have discernment. We have to have words of knowledge. We have to have the power of God. I cannot look at someone and say, you have a spiritual force that's oppressing you. I can't tell that. Now, there are some signs sometimes that alert us to the fact that somebody may be manipulated by a spirit. But just looking at an individual, you can't tell that. But the Holy Spirit can look inside. The Holy Spirit can give us the knowledge to be able to see and understand what's going on. We can have words of knowledge that'll come. We can have discernment. I can discern spirits. Now, I don't mean I can always discern spirits. I pray for that gift that we can discern. Pray for word of knowledge in these situations. Because I don't know what to do. I want to tell you something. When it comes to demonic forces, I'm way out of my league. I'm uncomfortable. But the reality is, our God is the one that is bigger than the enemy. And when we recognize we have the greater one inside of us, we can move with faith and power and deliver those who are oppressed of the devil, just like Jesus did. First thing I want to talk to you this morning about, taking me a long time to get to this. I'm sorry, I'm going to try to move along here. The first thing I want to talk about is, oh, wretched man that I am. Romans 7, 18 through 25. If you'll turn there, we're going to read that. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 through 25. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for the will is to present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul's giving us a tongue twister here. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see after law another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, Paul is not advocating what was referred to as Epicureanism, which is a belief that the physical being is separated from the spiritual being that we are. So the physical being could do whatever the physical being wanted to do in your body, but your spirit was saved, so no big deal. Now there's a lot of that going around these days, especially with the hyper grace movement, where people believe that you can just do anything you want, and you're because of the grace of God, we're okay. Well, it's not that. That is not the case. Yes, the grace of God is awesome, and it's beyond anything that we can even imagine. But God has given us a mandate and a responsibility to live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. So Paul is just, all he's doing here is he's giving us a vivid explanation, a picture of the battle that rages in every believer every day of our life. We're battling against our flesh. The flesh rises up. I believe we're battling on three fronts, but we still win. We're battling against our flesh. We're battling against the enemy, and we're battling against the world, which is manipulated by the enemy. It's a three-front war that we fight against. And if you do not stay plugged into the Spirit, it'll wear you out. We have to stay plugged in. We have to get our strength and our power from the Spirit of God. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul says, look, I make a lot of mistakes. I do a lot of things that are not necessarily right. But he makes it perfectly clear, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is able to continue. Galatians 5:17 says this, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Paul once again is telling us, you know, this is a battle. It's going on. It's going to continue. We're going to battle. But listen, set your course. Do not let the enemy win in your life. Do not let your flesh overcome your spirit, man. Your spirit needs to be built up and be strong. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So what is it that causes us to act out our flesh when we set our minds on the things of the flesh? You know, hallelujah. How many of you, is everybody in here gone through a time of fasting, prayer and fasting? Okay. All right, if you've done prayer and fasting, you know that's a spiritual discipline that we're supposed to do as believers. And you know the battle that goes on when you're fasting. And yet your flesh tells you, and then the enemy gets involved. You know, you can just take one bite. Come on, you'll be all right. It'll be okay. Or you can eat this meal and skip the next one or whatever. Now, and sometimes we do periodic fasting. Maybe we fast during the day. I do some fasting that way. I just do daily fasting and then eat in evenings. Nothing wrong with that if that's what you set. But if you set a fast to fast for a period of time, you need to stick with that because that's a spiritual discipline. And guess what that does? That builds up your spirit. Your spirit overcomes. But the flesh will always rise up and try to tell you to do something contrary to what your spirit says you should be doing. But put, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we need to be led by the Spirit so that people can know that we are the sons of God. Romans 13, 14 says this, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Most of our problems occur when we make provision for our flesh. Don't make a provision for that. Stay away from it, whatever it is. Don't allow yourselves to go in that direction. You're going to be tempted in many, many ways. Stay away from those temptations. New believers, I tell new believers, if you just recently become a new believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to have to sever some ties with things that you used to do and people you used to hang around with. Now, yes, you want to be a witness to non-believers, but you cannot continue going to your parties. Yeah. You cannot continue going to the places that the carnal world goes to on a regular basis. Because that's going to lead you, what you're doing is setting your mind on the things of the flesh rather than the things of the spirit. That's why you remove yourself from those things and you begin to get into church. You begin to get into Bible studies. You begin to form relationships with believers that can encourage you. And then when you get strong enough, then it's time to go back out and start ministering to those who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We got to clothe ourselves according to this. Clothe ourselves. Romans 13, 14 in the NLV, it says this, New Living Translation. "Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires." Clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be clothed in the world or you can be clothed in the Lord. Many years ago, I did something I probably shouldn't have done, but we didn't have a lot of money at the time, and I needed my septic tank pumped. So instead of calling up the guy that was going to charge me whatever they charge to pump a septic tank, I decided I was going to do it myself. You've done that too? Oh, okay. Okay. I... So I went, and it was cheaper to rent a trash pump. Now, if you don't know what a trash pump is just a pump that you pump out, pump water. A lot of construction people use it to pump water out of ditches and stuff. And you can pump just about anything through a pump, a trash pump. They got hoses about, you know, they're about 6 inches, and they've got a screen. You drop it down in there. The bad thing about a trash pump is you have to prime them, which means you have to take this plug out and pour water down in and get it started. Well, I had this young man working with me, Paul Lowry. He was the young man that we had, we worked with when we were doing the group home, and we'd known him for years, and he did a lot of work with me, worked with me a lot. And he was there with me, and he took the plug out and poured some water in. We started that thing up, when we started it up, he didn't get the plug back in. So, yes. It was raining poo everywhere. I said, "Paul, turn it off." He looked at me, he said, "No, you turn it off." So, I turned it off. But not before I was covered in crap. Now, glory, I had a choice. I could have continued to work covered in that junk, or I could go get cleaned up and start working again. But see, and the reason I'm relaying this story to you is because I think sometimes, you know, we're covered in a lot of junk in our lives, and the enemy's trying to rain down this stuff on us always, and it's nasty. And if we're not prepared to be able to deal with it, he'll make us smell bad and look bad. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants to clean us up. He wants to cleanse us, and that's so good to know that. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Second thing I want to talk to you about is the devil made me do it. In the early 70s, I was just a preteen at that time. And Flip Wilson hosted a comedy show. Now, maybe you don't know who Flip Wilson was. He was one of the first African Americans to be on television. He became phenomenally successful, but he was a comedian and he had this show. And one of his characters was Geraldine Jones. You remember it? I'm not going to try to act like Flip Wilson. But Geraldine would always blame the devil for her inability to control herself. She would say, "The devil made me do it." And, you know, that's a lot of people in the body of Christ. We try to blame the devil for everything. And the truth is, he's not always doing what we think he's doing. He's not always the one doing it. Sometimes it is our flesh that's rising up. Sometimes we just do it because that's what we want to do. Matthew 4:3 says, "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" When Jesus was driven into the wilderness, he went into the wilderness and his flesh was weak. His flesh was hungry because he had been fasting and praying. And he wanted to eat, but then the tempter came to him. You see, that's what happens. Our flesh gets to the point sometimes where we're weak and we don't know what to do. And the tempter shows up. You see, he's going to tempt us to do things. He doesn't force us to do anything, but he certainly knows how to tempt us. Whatever the situation is that you're in, he knows how to tempt you. 1 Thessalonians 3:5, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. Paul was concerned that the church was going to give up because the temptation was going to come. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. We're all going to be tempted. And we're all going to have these fleshly desires. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God will be faithful to bring us through these situations. The devils are tempters. He doesn't make you do wrong. He tempts you to do wrong. His tactics haven't changed. It's the same. It was the same in the garden when it came to the woman. So when the woman saw in Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, what did she do? She looked at it and she saw it was good. Oh, boy, that really looks good. I'd like to have some of that. That it was pleasant to the eye. And a tree desirable to make one wise. See, she started dwelling on all the good things about the tree. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And she did so because the enemy tempted her to do that. Eve had a desire, but the serpent used that desire, and he'll do that to you. He'll use your desires to tempt you. Remember this about the Lord. There's two things. The difference between the Lord and the devil. The Lord adds and multiplies. The devil subtracts and separates. And when you see the enemy subtracting and separating, when you see that happening, you know it's the enemy operating. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. And in that story, there's a head demon that's training a new demon. I don't know how that works, but anyhow, it's just a story. But it's a story that seems to be pretty right on about demonic forces and the way they operate. And the head demon says, Screwtape says to this lesser demon, "You will say that these are very small sins, and doubtless, like all young tempters, you are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy." And he's calling God the enemy. "It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to keep the man away from the light. Murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." He's saying absolutely the truth. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to gradually, and he's gradually pulling people down and trying to destroy people's lives. He's gradually pulling our society down into the muck and the mire of immoral behavior constantly. But the church has an answer. An answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive and well, and he's empowered us to do great things. The last thing I want to talk to you about this morning is the characteristic of demons. Remember, demons are persons. They have personalities, and they're going to fulfill their lustful desires, their personality, through humans. Matthew 4:24, "Then his fame went through all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptic and paralytic, and he healed them." Remember, they were demonized. not completely possessed. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. That's Matthew 9:32. Matthew 12:22. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed them, so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. Luke 13:10. Now he was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, verse 11, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no wise raise herself up. Jesus healed that woman by casting out the spirit. And he said to her, be healed, be delivered in Jesus' name. And he cast out that spirit. And the scripture said that she was made straight and she glorified God immediately. You see, what I'm trying to point out to you is that demons do afflict human beings physically. They bring some sickness and disease on people. And I don't have all the answers. But maybe that's sometimes, that's why we don't see some of the healings that we'd like to see. That there's spiritual forces at work behind the scenes and involved in people's lives. There's three things that I want to point out to you that we need to recognize that can open the door for demonic forces to operate in people's lives. First one is trauma. When you go through a traumatic experience, sometimes the forces of hell take advantage of that. They do it when people are children. They do it as adults. I'm convinced that many of the things, the conditions, mental health issues and conditions that happen in people's lives is because there's been an open door that has taken place in these people's lives. Now, I say that with backing it up this morning with what Donna told us about the testimony with the young man. She came up to me later and said, I wanted to also say that young man told me that after he received Christ and he was set free, that he no longer had the emotional and mental issues that he had before. It was gone. He was set free. That happens. Sometimes people are immediately set free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes there has to be some deliverance take place. I don't have, like I said, I don't have those answers. I don't know why or when. I can't explain it all. All I know is that I have seen people oppressed of the devil delivered and set free in Jesus' name. Christians. Now, we don't have to walk about being concerned about the enemy, that he's going to jump on us. That's the last thing I want to do is cause you to be afraid. He's not going to just jump on you and take control over you or take control over a certain area of your life. That's why I'm teaching this, is so that you'll have understanding and have the authority to fend him off when he tries to come into your life. If you do go through a traumatic experience, and we're all probably going to experience some trauma in our life at some point, then we can be on guard because we recognize, hey, the enemy might want to try to use this. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not going to. You're a blood-bought saint of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can stop the enemy in his tracks. The other thing is the involvement in the occult. If you've been involved in the occult in any way, you've opened the door for the demonic. Horoscopes, Ouija boards, fortune tellers, all these things. Look, in Deuteronomy, it tells us, Deuteronomy 18:10-12. I'm just going to read this to you real quick, and you can look it up for yourself. Deuteronomy chapter 18, it talks about these things. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. That was sacrificing your children to demons. No one was to be sacrificing their children. I believe there has been a curse on our nation because we have sacrificed so many children. And believe it or not, it's to demons. Or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. He was talking about the people who's in the land. Now, we're not in the Old Testament. But if you were living in the Old Testament and you were caught being involved in one of those things, guess what? You would get stoned. And I'm not talking about smoking pot. Real stones. Because it was that serious. God was very serious about the involvement in the occult. And we need to take it very serious today. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus teaches about the importance of forgiveness, because that's the other thing. Trauma, occult, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness opens up the door to the tormentors. When Jesus was talking about it, he was talking about forgiveness and unforgiveness. Jesus teaches about the importance of forgiveness, and he makes it very clear what happens to those who refuse to forgive. 18:34 and 35, and his master was angry. This man that refused to forgive his fellow servant, just a small debt, but he refused to forgive it. His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you. It's each of you from your heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Oh, he puts it in perspective for us. Listen, if we can't forgive, we're going to be turned over to the tormentors. Many people are tormented today because of unforgiveness in their life. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want any of us. He wants us to walk in forgiveness. He wants us to deal with the issues that arise in our life. If we've been involved with the occult, you've got to denounce that. Get away from it. Move away from it. Can't allow the enemy to have control in these areas. Demons do these things. They entice, they torment, they enslave, they harass, they compel, they defile, they deceive. James chapter 1:14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. We're enticed by the enemy, and that's what the enemy does. Here's the thing, when a person is demonized, the temptation that they feel is magnified 100-fold over what other people would feel. Because you have a personality that's controlling that part of your life. According to Colossians, through the cross, Jesus disarmed principalities, powers, and made them a public spectacle. Isn't that awesome to think about? He publicly announced, they're defeated. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When Jesus walked in the earth, he exercised power over the enemy. And he went to hell and spoiled the principalities and powers. He disarmed them is what the scripture actually says. He disarmed them, took away their armament. He took their weapons And according to Luke 10:19 and Mark 16:17, he gave authority in his name to overcome them. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then, of course, in Mark 16:17, he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Ooh, hallelujah. That's just one of the things we can do. I believe the Lord wants his people to expose and bring spirits down in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to kind of wrap things up here. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You cannot war against demonic forces in the flesh. It's a spiritual battle. For the weapons of our warfare, that's your warfare, the weapons that you have for warfare, the weapons that I have for warfare. They're not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. And they cause us to be able to capture every imagination. Remember this. The people that received help from Jesus were mainly normal, respectable, religious people in that day. And yet, Jesus went about setting them free from the demonic. I want to be like the first century church, the apostles. I want us to be that way. I believe that when the apostle Paul, when his feet hit the ground on every morning when he got up, hell trembled and quaked. And the demon said, oh no, he's awake again. That's the kind of person we should endeavor to be. We want to make hell tremble and shake. Hallelujah. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tempers Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.